Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is Episode 16, Council Candidate Forum, Tyler Melling, Cedar City.
Welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks, here with Jesse Harris.
Howdy.
We are in the middle of our City Council series, and we're here today with Tyler Melling. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks
Have
for
you
having
officially,
me.
Officially?
Yes, it's official.
All
now.
Right, yep. Excellent.
We,
excellent.
Just this morning, we went as a family to City Council, or to the City Hall, rather, and signed up for the City Council race. So
fantastic.
We'll see how it goes.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself to start out.
Okay. Yeah. So Tyler Melling, I'm an estate planning attorney here in town. So I mostly do wills and trusts. I wear a lot of other hats, however. So some people know me, through SUU. I, teach classes every now and then at Southern Utah University, mostly law related classes. And then, I'm the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce this year, so I do a lot of things with the chamber as well. I've got, my wife and I actually met here at SUU, in the Opus Chamber Choir. So
oh,
we're
wow.
both singers. We try not to advertise that too much.
Depending well, everybody's going to know
right,
now.
Right, everyone knows now, so my secret's out. I've got a 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and 2-year-old. So boy, girl, boy, they're fun. They're pretty easy kids
That's
when
great.
They want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we've moved around a little bit for grad school and stuff, but we've been back for about 4 years now in town and plan to stay here forever. So we like Cedar City. I've got a lot of family ties here on mm-hmm. both sides of the family, and we want to stay here.
Good.
What made you crazy enough to decide to run?
A lot of things. I mentioned I wear a lot of different hats, and I've seen a lot of people needing help through those different capacities. People, kind of ties into some of the issues that are part of my platform, but especially people who are remodeling their businesses. I've seen a lot of problems with that over the last couple years. I'd like to find ways to address that. We've been working on that so far, but I'd like those people to have more of a voice. There are a lot of other issues. I'm on a water, advisory committee, looking a couple other subcommittees looking at ways to not only attract jobs here, but help people who are already here, to start their own businesses if there's not a job that already fits their skill set. So a lot of those different things. I asked a few friends who were kind of in those same circles who knew of those needs that weren't being addressed, asked them to run, and they all said no. And so I decided to do it myself.
You got the short straw.
Right. So I figured I was in a good position to do it and to do it well, with especially when it comes to legislative stuff. That's kind of a hobby of mine is looking at code and trying to find ways to make sure it accomplishes the goal mm-hmm. that it's intended to accomplish rather than having unintended effects.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what in your mind is the city doing well?
A few things, a lot of things actually. Our city, we have this culture of hard work, self-determination, and the to a great extent, the city as a government reflects that as well and conveys that message to prospective employers as they're looking to come to Cedar City. And a lot of those employers that have come here, realize that that is true, and they look at expanding, and that's really great. And that's one of the things we do well. Our parks, I think we do a good job with. There's always room for improvement everywhere, but especially being so close to so many outdoor places, we kind of attract that crowd, and we do a good job of creating outdoor facilities and finding ways to be supportive of, things like the summer games, the university, tourism, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are some areas you think the city can improve on?
There's a few. So the one, like I said, one of the issues that really got me wanting to run was the remodeling aspect, and it's tied to other issues, but, just finding ways to add predictability to, commerce here. A predictable platform is always better than an unpredictable one. So as people are shopping for a place to live, you know, people are consumers in every aspect, mm-hmm. including in that way. And so if there's a pattern of people setting up businesses and wanting to expand businesses and not having a predictable process with the city, that's going to be advertised and be a detriment to our growth. So finding ways to add some predictability to that process, maybe even reining in to what extent the city can interfere with remodels past a certain point in the process, maybe. May be appropriate. I've talked to many people in the building industry, real estate, lending, and they're all seeing this problem that is unique to Cedar City. Mm-hmm. We don't really see that other places.
This is for remodeling an older building?
Not necessarily. It doesn't have to do with age. It just has to do with the process at all of remodeling. You don't see it as much with new construction because there's nothing that needs to necessarily be brought up to code with mm-hmm. new construction. But anything that that has elements that are not up to code that need to be brought up, those elements are not being brought to the, you know, the project is approved with a list, and then the businesses are given a new list of things halfway through the project, or even sometimes months after the project is completed.
So it becomes very iterative rather than here's everything that needs to do, here's your finish line.
Right, especially when the planning, the funding, the budgeting all occurs at the beginning.
Sure.
Most other municipalities do not interfere past that mm-hmm. initial process either. I was reading in one study, there were areas of the Midwest where they actually make it illegal for the city to bring up new requirements of a remodel past about 30 days.
Wow.
And so we might want to look into something like that. Once again, it's a complicated issue. You don't want to have unintended consequences, mm-hmm. but
you want to measure twice and cut once.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, that's one area where we could see some improvement. The housing is another place, and it's a statewide issue with housing. About a week and a half ago, I was at the governor's economic summit, mm-hmm. and there was a representative from the state chamber that was talking about mid-level housing options and how, for the most part, they're illegal across the state. And that creates a problem because the kind of those blue collar workers are either forced to be mortgaged to the hilt in a place they can't afford, or to be in low income housing, which may not meet the social needs of their families. And so looking at authorizing more types of housing and how to do that in a way that doesn't adversely affect the neighbors of those developments. And anyway, once again, it's a complicated issue, but it is one that needs to be addressed. There are a lot of suggestions from other municipalities that have been tackling the issue that have set good examples. And so looking at those as well is a big one.
Yeah, affordable housing is so huge. Mm-hmm. And really, it's the local government that really puts the rubber to the road on how do we fix this.
Right, right. And there are a lot of philosophies on it, you know, mm-hmm. ranging from, well, let's just subsidize everything, right, to just finding ways to deregulate the market in a way that you're not adversely impacting the neighbors, but that you are allowing the room for the types of housing you want to allow.
That is kind of the tricky thing with real estate is
very
you
tricky.
Always say it's location, location, location. You aren't saying whatever's inside of my parcel is what I care about. It's what's around it that you're buying
right.
into as well.
Exactly.
And that seems to cause a lot of heartburn whenever someone buys that idea of here's what's around me and then it changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, well, this feels like a bait and switch now.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you say deregulate, what mm-hmm. what does that mean?
So that means identifying specific types of housing that we'd like to allow and peeling back the restrictions on that without necessarily peeling back the whole thing that's mm-hmm. going to just allow people to do whatever they want. And there are a lot of people that think that that's the case. People should be able to do whatever they want with their property. And I tend to be in that camp to a degree. But then again, I also, farming's a good example. I'm all for urban farming, people having small scale farms. Do I want 20 pigs within 50 feet of my house? No. And so we need to determine what are those lines. There are a couple projects I've been working on, in talking with the Chamber of Commerce, with some of our current city council, such as accessory dwelling units, allowing, secondary units to be built onto homes for rent with, certain restrictions to keep it from, becoming just essentially an R2 and an R1 development. Mm-hmm. So, looking at options like that are, vetted, that have already been tried and tested in other places where they messed it up, and have been remedied, and looking at things like that can be done, that have already been proven, you know, not reinventing the wheel, basically.
Mm-hmm. Learn from other people's mistakes.
Exactly.
Sure. So what specific goals do you have? What would you like to specifically accomplish if you were elected?
Right. I think, you know, the three things I'd really like to accomplish, that are much more detailed than the basics, but, have to do with commerce, housing, and infrastructure. So I'd really like to see, Cedar City, regain what elements of its reputation it's lost in the private sector as far as obstructing commerce. We do a lot of things right. I'd like to see us be an example, to everybody in the state. Starting with some of those remodeling issues and going forward, being a standard for being a business partner in a community. I'd like to see more housing options being built. I think if we allow them, the private sector will take care of a lot of that. We just need to allow them. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see a lot of our housing pressure go away. And then finally, with our infrastructure, I'd like to see a little bit more of a deliberacy in planning for that. For example, roads. Roads are one thing. We build them nationwide. We build them the way we build them because that's how they're built and that's how they're engineered. And a lot of cities have started to question that when they're looking at 50, 60, 70 year old roads mm-hmm. that have been built according to these specs, and the ongoing maintenance costs of that per taxpayer, especially when you have very long frontages with mm-hmm. houses. I was reading one study where, a city started to have a decline in its population because that area of the country had lower birth rates and so forth. The maintenance alone on their roads, had they taxed to take care of it, was going to be a quarter of household income.
Oh, man.
And that's nuts. And that's an extreme example, but across the country, as we see diminishing populations, those effects are felt more acutely. Now, Utah is not expected to be diminishing for about 40 years, but the life of our infrastructure in some areas is longer than that. Mm-hmm. So, what legacy are we leaving to our children and grandchildren? And are we making sure that they can afford to live in the places we've created? So, I would like to see us reevaluate how we do infrastructure, exploring some of these other places that have been, tried and tested to, diminish our long-term infrastructure liabilities. Along those lines, just a little more transparency, and it's not that we don't have transparency, but maybe a little more education to the public on how certain funds are handled. Impact fees come up a lot with new construction. Can there be more education on how exactly those are calculated and funded, and why do we do them the way that we do? so that people can understand that a little better.
Sure.
People look at me a little funny when I say my favorite tax bill is my property tax bill, but it has line items there. And, oh, this is how much goes here. This is how much goes here. This is how much goes here. So it's the one tax bill where I know exactly what my money's being spent.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I and a lot of those things can be summed up. I want a better place for my kids and grandkids. Mm-hmm. So, especially when we're looking at our infrastructure, so much of our infrastructure spending and maintenance is subsidized by the growth we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so, some call for a halt to all development. And right now that would be scary because we offset so much of our maintenance from new development. So how can we create a more sustainable, city so that in the future, if that curve does, reverse and we're not growing at the rate we are, how can we make sure that we're not spending an inordinate amount of our income on the upkeep of the infrastructure we've built?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say you're stuck in an elevator with someone for a couple minutes. What's mm-hmm. your pitch of why me?
Why me? couple minutes probably be I care about this city. I do a lot of research. I'm an insomniac, so to a fault, I read about this kind of stuff. And I can listen. As I listen to people, I'm always exposed to new ideas, new ways of doing things, new concerns. And even though we may not see eye to eye on all issues, I really do try to take into account everybody's perspective on different issues. And that's what Cedar City needs in an elected official, is someone who can take those different perspectives and vote for what's the best interests of the people, and someone who's invested in this community.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Any parting thoughts you'd like to leave with us?
I think we covered most of it. Yeah. If we've got a Facebook page, just Tyler Melling for Cedar City Council. Mm-hmm. I'll post, I have been posting and will continue to post, different things, to that, including this podcast, different articles I tend to find about some of these ideas we've discussed that mm-hmm. kind of go into more depth and then tell your friends. appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And thank you. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.